Beloved, I want to begin by thanking Claudine Athman. It was Claudine's idea months ago that we draw from poetry to come alongside sacred text to teach us in these days and in these times. Long before COVID-19, long before unrest in the street, long before any of what we could have imagined 2020 would bring, my sister, Claudine, offered this idea, and I am grateful. Today's poem, which adorns the cover of your bulletin, was written by Will Allen Dromgoole. Will Allen Dromgoole is a woman. She was born in 1860, and she wrote 7,500 poems, 5,000 essays, and 13 books. Murfreesboro, Kentucky is her home. And she studied law before that was a common thing, but no one would allow her to sit for the bar. And so instead of serving as a lawyer, she served the judiciary and the legislature in her state. A woman of amazing capacity. 1860 to 1834. Among her most famous poems is one called The Bridge Builder. Hear it now. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in a twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You'll never again pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge in the evening tide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, in the path I have come," he said, "a youth whose feet must pass this way, this chasm that has been naught to me today, this chasm that has been naught as to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him." What beneficence, what charity, what goodwill to know with a certainty that you'll never pass this way again, and to stop and build a structure that someone else might use, to build a bridge that someone else will cross, to know that no one will ever know your name, will ever write you down in history's annals. No one will call you a saint. No one will know what you've done to be blessing and boon to those who will follow you. But Will Allen Dromgoole knew that capturing this story might inspire others to follow in the bridge builder's way. And beloved, our biblical writ carries many stories of such bridge builders. The story of Ruth and Naomi. Be really clear about this story. The book of Ruth begins in the time of the judges. This means the time before prophets and kings. This means the time right after the people of God had settled the promised land. In the time of judges, of Jephthah and Samson, of Delilah, of Gideon and Deborah, in the time of judges, there was a famine in Bethlehem near Judah. And the people of God left their home and went to the territory of the Moabites. The Moabites were a hated people. Israel had battled and would battle again with them. But there the people of God had to settle because there was a famine in their land. And Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left Bethlehem and went down to Moab. And then Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died. In a foreign land, one she does not know, with two sons. Her sons grew. Because they were in a foreign land, they married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. After they had been there 10 years, her sons died. In one decade, Naomi was bereft of her husband and her sons, and she looked at her daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, and she said, I can bear no more children from this body. You should go back to your homes where maybe you can find husbands, because I have nothing left to give you. In fact, my name is Naomi, which means pleasant, but God, you might as well change it to Mara, which means bitter, because my life, she said, is bitter. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and turned to go back. But Ruth uttered those words that you know. Whither thou goest, I shall go. Whither thou lodgest, I shall lodge. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. Where you are buried, I will be buried. God, deal with me severely if anything separates me from you. And so Naomi, who wanted to be called bitter, and Ruth went back to Bethlehem. And then that scripture you heard read from the third chapter, Ruth began to treat Naomi just like a daughter would a mother. She began to care for her and to glean in the field with Boaz's women so that they would have food in the house. And in the third chapter, Naomi says to Ruth, my daughter, I have to secure your future. I need to get you a husband. So here, I want you to come get all Jean-nated up. I know that dates me, but I want you to bathe and rub on some oil, and I want you to put on your best frock. And when Boaz, if you read the King James, when Boaz is merry after eating and drinking, go lie in a strategic place, and he'll tell you what to do. You see, Ruth was a stranger. She had no way of knowing what was appropriate. She had no way of knowing what would cause her to be attractive to a man or what would cause her to be stoned. She had no understanding of the Israelite ways of being. She didn't know what to do. But her mother-in-law, Naomi, had passed this way before. Her mother-in-law had come through the proper way to gain a husband and had married Elimelech. She knew the protocols. She knew the behaviors. She knew what was seen as appropriate in Israelite eyes. And so she said, daughter, come, I will be the bridge for you. I will build a bridge between this destitute place you and I are in, with no men in our lives, because that was the truth of that time. I will build a bridge between where we are and where we're going. I will make sure Boaz sees you and sees your character and your beauty. I will show you the way to go, because you are a youth passing after me. I'm building this bridge, Ruth, for you. If you keep reading, in the chronicle that is Ruth's, you will know that Naomi built a bridge, and yes, Boaz saw Ruth and married her, but Naomi built a bridge not only for Ruth, Naomi built a bridge for you and me, because if you keep reading in the text, you will see that the child Ruth and Boaz bear is named Obed, and Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David, the shepherd king of Israel, the one who would be the progenitor of Jesus. When Naomi built that bridge for Ruth, she built it between you and me and the one we call Savior. Naomi had never met Will Allen Drumgoole, but good friend, I'm building the bridge for her. And Peter, my boy Peter, Couldn't walk on the water, sank, lack of faith. Wanted to cut off people's ears to avenge Jesus. Wanted to build booths on a mountain so that somebody would know he had been there. Peter, who denied him, who deserted him. Peter, after all of that was over, after Jesus had forgiven him and said to him, "You're the rock on which I build my church," Peter was still misbehaving. You see, Peter believed that the Gentiles did not belong in the family of faith. Peter called them the uncircumcised. Peter called them the unclean. He would have nothing to do with them, at least not when other Israelites were looking. Peter saw them as outside of the bounds of God's love until Acts 10. He's on the roof, and down comes this sheet, and it's got on it food that is against the dietary restrictions of good Jews. And God says to him, "What I call clean, you don't get to rename." And shortly after that, those three men were from the household of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. He was a commander in the army. And he's called in our biblical text a God-fearing man. Those three men came to bring Peter to the household of Cornelius. Do you know what Peter said when he got there? Peter looked at Cornelius and said, "You know that in my prior life, I said it was unlawful for a Jew to come into the house of a Gentile. But God has revealed to me that God is no respecter of persons. And that in every nation, if you call on God's name and fear him, you are acceptable. You are included. You are a part of the family of God." Peter built a bridge between ancient Hebraic law about who was inside and who was outside. Peter built a bridge to the Gentile community and baptized Cornelius and his entire household. And he had a price to pay when his Israelite brothers heard the story. But Peter, who once had been willing to tear down bridges, in this moment built one. Beloved, we need modern day bridge builders. In Barrington, there is a gentleman whose name is Terrence Wallace, and he has purchased a 27-acre home. His intent is to bring 20 young African-American boys to be in this community, to go to the school, to live fully. He's a bridge builder. He had a gun, Mr. Wallace, held to his head as a young man, and he knows the meanness of the streets of urban areas, and he's already done this thing in New Zealand 3 times, and now he's come home to do it. He's a bridge builder, building a bridge for those who have been left out to a place where they will be included and where they will learn how to go back into their own communities. We need modern day bridge builders. But let me ask you this, beloved, who built bridges for you? When you look back over your life, who was the person that made a way for you to go from where you were to where you've come? Who was the person who just took you into their heart and into their soul and made a way for you? Maybe it was a teacher who saw a gift in you and who opened it up. Maybe it was a Sunday school person at your church who said, "I see in you more than the world sees." Maybe it was somebody who was behaving like your enemy but challenged you, and that motivated you to do what was next. I'm so grateful. There's so many bridge builders in my life. But when I was in high school, there was a woman. She is still alive and in Indianapolis, Indiana. Her name is Mildred Ball. Mrs. Ball had hundreds of young ladies in a dance troupe. I was more afraid of Mildred Ball than I was my mother, because Mrs. Ball held us to these standards. She was an educated woman. There weren't any of those in my family. She was an educated woman, and she called us to be who we are. I'm so grateful I've had an opportunity in my life to say to that woman who had no reason to build bridges for me that you've been a bridge builder. Who are yours? And like the poem, you won't always know them. Somebody built bridges because they sacrificed their health in a clinical trial, and now you're taking drugs that keep you alive. Somebody in your employment, in your place where you work, had an ethical stand that changed the trajectory of that business, and now you work in a business you are proud of. Somebody in a legislature somewhere someday said, I'm going to stand for this law, and it has changed the way we move in the world. You don't know their name, but they built bridges that you and I have crossed. Who are the known bridge builders in your life? And then who are the ones that you simply thank God for because they existed? And the poem is not written from the perspective of the fair-haired boy. I've asked you to think about who built bridges for you. That boy in the poem never knew. And so, as I get ready to take my leave, I would ask you, for whom are you building bridges? Not that they will know your name, not that they will write you down in history, not that they will call you saints, but we build bridges by doing the right thing when no one is looking or everybody is looking. We build bridges by standing on the ethics and on the morals that our faith teaches us. We build bridges by standing up for those who are at the outside and marginalized, like Peter and Cornelius. We build bridges when we obey the word of God, and nobody will know except the one who gave you breath and life. Good friend, the poem ends, I'm building the bridge for him. May you and I take seriously this poem. May you and I take seriously the work of building bridges. Not so there will be a claim, but that some fair-haired boy, some dark-eyed girl, some child not yet born, someone who's forever been on the outside, someone who needs a home and a family to raise them with love, someone who would fall in that sullen tide, will not have to, because you'll say, I'll say, good friend, I'm building the bridge for them. Gracious God, we are not clairvoyant. We have no crystal balls. We have no idea how, when we live our lives according to your word, it makes a difference. And sometimes, God, it feels like failure. But you remind us that our ultimate arbiter is you. Remind us again and anew that we build bridges as we obey your word. We build bridges as we reach out beyond ourselves. And whether we know those who will cross them or not, you take joy in our being bridge builders. For you were the ultimate bridge between our sin and our salvation. And we seek to imitate you to build bridges for others. Oh God, strengthen us in this day to be builders of good and strong bridges for whoever the them is that you send in the footsteps that we have made. Bless these your people, O God. And may you go out into this world confident of your capacity to be a bridge builder. And may you move with joy, for someone will be safe because you and I have been obedient to God's word. May you go and may you build bridges with joy. Amen and amen.